Hi friends, Amy here. I just wanted to give you a little bit of a content warning on this episode. This one does involve brutal death, child death, sexual assault dreams, and mention of pedophiles. We're unlocking new fears every day. But again, if you watch the show The Dead Files, you're already prepared.
Friends, and welcome to the Activity Continues podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Megan.
And I'm Amy.
We discuss episodes of the Travel Channel's TV show, The Dead Files. This week, Amy will be talking about season 14, episode 8, They Come at Night. It did originally air March 6th of 2022.
And yeah, I decided to cover this one even though it's new. So if you haven't seen it and you don't want to quote unquote, watch it through my eyes for the first time, just skip ahead to Megan's segment. And Megan will be recapping season 4, episode 9, The Cursed Path, or maybe The Cursed Path, which aired September 6, 2014. Is that correct?
What's the difference between cursed and cursed?
I don't know.
I mean,
cursed is usually what you say.
Yeah.
Something is cursed.
Yeah.
But like whenever it's in like a movie title or a book title, they say cursed.
I wonder if
maybe it's old time English.
Cursed, the cursed path. I mean, so that could maybe be like an adjective and the cursed. I don't know either. Maybe one is like 1800s. This cursed.
That's what I'm thinking. Like it's old timey English or something.
Cursed amulet. I don't know. People need, there should be more amulets around.
I'm just
throwing that out there. I saw a TikTok where if you have an X on your palm, it means you're more sensitive to be a Wiccan and you're more in tune with things.
Really?
Yeah.
An X, like...
I'll send you the TikTok because I don't remember where. It's like in the center of your palm.
Is it like if these two cross?
No, it's right. It's like right here.
Oh, right in the center.
Yeah. I'll send you the TikTok because... Okay.
I don't have an X.
The only way I know anything anymore is via TikTok.
Oh, I know. I've learned so much.
Yeah, I have too. I don't want to watch the news because it's sad, so I just watch it via TikTok. Although I will say I'm getting really tired of the whole Chelsea Lance saga on TikTok. Like, let it go.
Yeah.
That's
so I'm a guy over was it. A dick.
Yeah. So it's a Tuesday then?
Yeah, and today's news.
Yeah.
Water is wet.
Yeah. Like, come on. I don't know. Yeah. It's a whole big dramatic thing.
It is, and so many other creators have gotten on and jumped on the bandwagon and whatever.
I know that you're all sick of it, but like duetting it isn't going to make it go away. It's just going to make it keep going.
Right.
So just drop it.
Yeah.
It's my TikTok rant for the day.
I agree. Okay. So, and we're doing this a little different today. I always look over there like I'm talking to people. I mean, that is where the camera is, but we are doing this a little different today. Megan is actually here at my house.
Which I haven't been.
I know.
It's been easily a year since I've been inside because I hadn't even seen your whole bar redo.
That's so crazy.
Which is
the best. I thought for sure you had been here since that was up.
I think I've been here, but I think it was like really quickly. I think I dropped something off for you.
Oh, maybe when you came in and, we exchanged.
And I didn't even come inside, I don't think. I think I was just like, here's your gift. And you're like, here's your gift. And I was like, okay, bye.
Okay, bye. The kid's in the car.
Yeah, kid was in the car. So I think, oh my gosh, you've got these like 50s style microwave. It's like a powder blue.
Yeah.
And then you have a matching toaster oven.
Uh-huh. It's cute. We have the same toaster oven upstairs in red.
Do you really? Oh my God. I love it. It's so cute.
Yeah, it is.
And
they work.
Yeah. Which is really, looks is the most important thing.
Exactly.
But if you can get it to work,
then
that's just a bonus.
That's gravy.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, we're in person. And yes. Amy was the sweetest and she got me a whole case of Rebel coffee. So
I did.
My husband will be picking me up. I'll be stumbling out of here.
Well, especially because after this, we're going to the Legion.
Yes, we are.
We're going to go to the Bird.
Three sheets to the wind.
And I am having the same stuff that Megan had last two times, I think.
Yeah, the last two times.
And it's the Cafe Agave Spiked Cold Brew Coffee in the Cafe Mocha flavor.
Yep.
12.5.
Yep.
Alcohol, so we'll see how that goes.
And like half the size of the Rebel.
Yeah.
It's tiny.
Yeah, it is. It's cute. I'm going to open it right now so you're going to hear that.
It's fun size to fit in your hand.
Maybe I should grab two.
Crack. Nice.
Oh, it is
crap.
Creamy looking. I didn't expect it to be creamy.
That's what she said.
Mom, don't listen to this.
Yeah,
episode.
You might want to cut that out.
It's different.
It is. As sweet as the Rebel.
No, it's not as sweet. It's still sweet, but it's got a bang to it.
Yeah, and it's
got like a...
The alcohol. You can taste it. That's, because...
Yeah, the Rebel, you cannot taste alcohol in that.
Which is dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Oh, my God. But so fucking good.
No, I like it, though.
Yeah.
I like it. I don't know that I'll have two right now, because it's a little early. It's only 2:20 in the afternoon right now, so...
Also, we're just changing everything up today, because not only are we in person, but it's Friday afternoon. Normally,
right.
We do this Thursday nights.
When we're half asleep.
Yeah, and I'm in my basement, just waiting for all of the ghosts to come in. Attack me.
Right.
Now it's in the sunshine. So
yeah, we're in my basement, but we have windows down here and it's pretty bright in here.
And the ghosts don't attack you during the day because that's just science.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get it. Are they sleeping during the day?
I don't. Do ghosts sleep?
I don't think so. I wouldn't think they would
suck.
Have to. Amy Allen, if you're listening, let us know. Do ghosts sleep?
Please. Please let us know, Amy Allen. If I become a ghost, I hope I can choose to sleep because, my God, I am like, I could sleep.
Megan the Sleeping Ghost.
Oh, my God, yeah. That would be my name. And I wouldn't scare people. They just...
Oh.
Was that Greg?
No, it was Alexa.
Oh.
I mean, Janet. I'm going to go unplug her.
Do you call her Janet?
Yeah, I call her Janet because I don't want her to, to act up. I call her Janet. It's from The Good Place. Did you ever watch The Good Place?
No, is that with Kristen Bell?
Yes.
Oh, I need to.
You would love
her.
The show. It's very good.
I think you told me that. My friend Jesse told me that.
It's really, really good.
Yeah.
And they have an AI person. Mm-hmm. She's like an Alexa, but her name is Janet.
Oh, okay.
And so we call our Alexa Janet so that she doesn't go, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Every time I say her name.
One of my coworkers told me that you can actually play Jeopardy with Alexa.
Oh, yeah.
Which I keep meaning to try, but of course I thought a bit about it last time right after I put my son to bed. And there's one in his room.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not going to do that because that's just what I need is for Alexa to be like, what? What category? And then he'll wake up like, what the fuck's going on? And then he'll cry because he actually says what the fuck's going on.
Good. I'm glad you teach him the good words early.
He's very eloquent for 16 months. He's very articulate.
Funny.
Just kidding. He doesn't say that. I hope no mom's listening. Come for me.
I doubt it.
What's new with you?
What's new? My friend from high school, Rachel, is here, mm-hmm. as you know. Mm-hmm. And she had trouble working the microwave because it's old timey.
That's what she said. She was showing me. She's like, I told Amy I can't work this old timey stuff.
I'm like, it's pretty new. I only got it like 6 months ago and it's brand new. But yes, it is modeled to look old timey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It has a button, a knob. That you twist for the time.
I mean, I'm good at twisting knobs. So.
Good to know.
On today's episode of The Activity Continues, we have our X-rated jokes brought to you by Megan.
That's what happens when we drink alcoholic coffee and we're in person.
And it's 2 o'clock on a Friday. We get rowdy.
Yep. Yep.
Greg doesn't know what he's in for.
Oh, no. He's going to be up. I can see him being like, I'm just your driver tonight.
Pretty much, yeah. He'll be the sheep herder.
Because we're meeting Heather there, too.
Are we really?
Yeah.
And I haven't seen her in...
It's been a minute, yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, both my co-hosts will be together tonight.
Podcast party.
Yep. Oh, I wanted to tell you, I made a note.
Uh-huh.
Yesterday, I found a show. I think it was yesterday. I found a show on Discovery Plus called Crime Scene Confidential. Have you seen this?
No.
Okay, so it stars a woman named Alina Burrows, and she is a CSI investigator.
She's like the real Gil Grissom? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is it Grissom or Grisham?
Grissom. I think Grissom. It's Grissom. Grisham is the writer.
Writer. Yeah.
So she, one of the cases that she worked on very hard and very long, worked mm-hmm. on it for a very long time, was the Kaylee Anthony case.
Bless her.
I know. So the whole first episode.
Was she found innocent?
I have no idea.
She's like the female OJ. And they talked
about
OJ.
It a little. I watched the episode. The episode was, the first. There's only one episode out right now, mm-hmm. and it's about Kaylee and her mother, quote unquote, mm-hmm. mother.
Yeah, her person who birthed her.
Yeah, and killed her. So you know how we feel about that.
No. Yeah. yeah, we are not sugarcoating that.
No.
She's a dirty murderer.
Yep. And the episode was really interesting. She talks to Cindy. Yep.
Oh, what yeah. a show. Oh, my gosh.
You have to watch it. It's really good. I don't want to give away too much, but it's really good. And it's really interesting how she talks. She was in the woods for 12 days digging through stuff, this woman, to try and find.
Yeah.
When they found the body. Yeah. Oh, it's a really good episode. I can't wait to see more episodes mm-hmm. of this show. And she's really cool. She, mm-hmm. this crime scene lady, she's really cool. She's got pink hair, shaved on one side.
Yep. Nice. Yeah. She's rocking it. She's super cute. She's living her best life.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, that case still pisses me off.
Yep.
And did you hear she said she'd be open to having more kids?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I actually thought she had another kid, but maybe she hasn't. Maybe I just...
I know Amanda Knox had a kid, and I always get those two confused. Oh. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But I don't know if Casey did.
Okay.
If she does, they should take that kid away from her.
Yeah, I don't... Well, I mean,
I feel like if you kill one of your children, that automatically means you don't get any more.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yep. I think that's all I have. I've been watching the same shows that I told you about last time.
I know, me too. I'm Downton. I need to take breaks.
Yeah.
Plus each episode, like I've said, is like a
so
movie.
Long. Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, I got into, so I'm starting a new job on Monday. Mm-hmm. And I've been watching Modern Family because that show is just hilarious.
That is a good one.
And so I saw an episode where Claire was going to start a job, take over as CEO of the closets. And so Mrs. Cluttersworth came out and she was like decluttering everything. And that's what I did this week. I cleaned my crafting space, which is also where I sit and record. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, how have I accumulated so much shit between the beading and the clay and the resin. Mm-hmm. There's just glitter everywhere and beads and earring backs and clay. And it's just so I cleaned it all up.
Good.
Got a garbage bag full of shit. I made my first Poshmark sale this week.
Yay!
I know. I told.
Is it one of our listeners? Because we did pimp your
I know
Poshmark.
We did. I don't know. This person lives in, I think they lived in Washington.
Hmm.
And that's on the West Coast. I always get that one in Washington, D.C. mixed up. I am not a geography person.
Yeah, I'm not either. Mm-hmm.
I'm only $6. My next sale, if it's $6, then I'll break even. Nice. And then everything will be a profit after that.
Good.
But I think I'm going to go tomorrow to the bins and see if I can find some more shit.
Yeah.
So
sometimes you can find some treasures.
I got an Ann Taylor blazer, brand new with tags, for $160. It costs. And I got it for $18 with everything. So probably divided by it was probably like $5 or something.
Jeez.
Brand new with tags.
Wow.
Yeah. Size 12 if you want it.
I wish I fit into a size 12.
Same. My one arm does.
I used to.
Yeah, I used to. And then I fucking had Girl Scout cookies and pasta.
And Rebel. Actually, that Rebel's only 115 calories a can.
Nice. What is... I'm in a weird mood today. X-rated jokes.
Well, you're jobless right now.
I know. What is going on?
That's awesome.
It's a free world.
It's a good feeling. Oh, that's another thing. So I am also using a new recording program. I'm still recording everything on Audacity, like always, but I am using a program called Descript that I tested out a couple days ago with my other podcast, running an episode through there. And it's really slick. It takes out all the ums and so that's nice.
Yeah.
So I'm using that, and I'm going to give my husband a shout out for allowing me to buy the full version.
How much was it?
It was only $100. Oh, that's a little over $100 for the whole year.
Yeah. Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, because I found a couple coupon codes. So that's his donation to the podcast.
Yay, that he doesn't husband. Listen to. He's the best. Yeah,
he doesn't listen anyway. But
oh, he should.
I know he should.
Gosh.
No, every time I even talk about this show, he gets mad at me.
Why?
Because he doesn't believe in ghosts or anything like that. Even though they yelled in his ear, he doesn't believe in it.
He literally has proof.
Mm-hmm. Not good enough. Nope. I mean, he gets legit mad. And I'm like, why do you care what I believe in?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to get started because we've been yammering on for half an hour now.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is Amy. I am doing season 14, episode 8, which is the last episode that has aired.
Oh my gosh. So it's the newest spanking one. Yeah.
It aired on March 6th.
Like 5 days ago?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Today is the 11th. Yeah. So I chose this one because while I was watching it, I was having so much fun, like yelling at the TV and cheering and clapping and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, this is a good one. And then I thought, well, people who haven't seen it might not want to, you know, hear about one that they haven't seen yet. Because I know it's not available everywhere. Like, I know you can't watch it in the UK and stuff. So, but then I thought, if you don't want to listen, just skip ahead.
Skip ahead. Yeah.
And I will put in the show notes, once I have everything edited and all the timestamps in, I will put in the timestamp for where to skip to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that if you want to skip this one, you can. But it was a really good one. Yeah. Really, really good.
Okay. Okay.
Excited. So this one takes place in Flatwoods, Kentucky. And the client is Nikki and her sister, Tony.
Okay, really quick, I have an interjection. Yeah. I was listening to KS95 this week, and they do Smarter Than Stacy, where they give trivia. Fun fact about Kentucky, it's the only state where the last two letters are the same as the state abbreviation, KY. So if that ever comes up in Jeopardy,
the more you know.
I'm Alexa.
Yeah.
You've got it.
All right. Interesting. Never would have thought of that.
I know. I didn't either. But thanks for KS95. Shout out. Sponsor us.
Yeah, that'd be nice. So I knew I wanted to do this episode when Steve is talking about, you know, this takes place in Kentucky and it's on the Ohio River and blah, blah, blah. And he said, the client, Nikki.
She told me she always dreamed of owning a home in the middle of nowhere. Let me tell you, mission accomplished.
Oh, and good job, Nikki.
I know. You done it.
You've nailed it.
Yeah. So the first thing Amy says when she gets out of the car is, oh boy. And she notes that there are a ton of graves here.
Ooh, never good.
Mm-mm. And starting she sees strong. Yeah. She sees seven people, two men, five women, who are wearing mourning clothes. Mm. Like veils and all black and everything.
Not like AM mourning, like someone passed away mourning.
Right, exactly. And she said they are mourning the loss of loved ones, but they are making her uncomfortable. And she thinks they have bad intentions. So then they go to Steve and we're at the house and it's like a drone shot of the neighborhood. And it's not, I mean, her house is not in the middle of nowhere. There's houses right up next to hers.
Maybe the neighborhood is
in the middle of nowhere. But it looks pretty condensed. There's like, what they show is like five or six houses right next to each other. It's not, you know, it's like Minneapolis. It's not, they're not spread apart. But it's a really cute neighborhood. It's like a manicured suburb kind of thing.
Cookie cutter suburb?
Kind of, yeah. Although I think the houses are older. Okay. I don't think they're like, you know, 80s houses or whatever. Because there's people that lived in the house many, many, many years ago. But maybe it's just the land when they're talking about that. I'm unclear. But so he's talking to Nikki and she believes that the paranormal killed her friend of 20 years. His name is Sean. He died of heart problems. He was only 42.
Oh.
He didn't live there and he died in his own home.
Okay.
So Steve's like, did he live here? No. Did he die here? No. And he's like, he gives a look like, what are you talking about, Willis?
Like last week, and he was like, what the hell am I doing here?
Yeah. Exactly. Not to be rude, but what the hell am I doing here? So, but she says he was over there all the time. And they were such good friends that it wouldn't shock her if, you know, he came back to hang out with her.
Yeah.
So then she goes on to say that she's heard Sean's voice warning her.
Yeah, I'll hear my name and it's his voice. Okay.
I heard him one day say, Nikki, be careful. If he's here, I feel like he's trying to protect me.
Mm-hmm. And she's crying as she's telling this. So Steve gives her hanky.
Oh my God, even a hanky.
I know, so cute. And then this is when I went, I wonder if Sean is a guide.
Oh.
Like if he's coming here to guide her, yeah. to protect her.
Yep.
Yep. So, and I would not have known that. I mean, right. that wouldn't even have come to me if we hadn't been researching Amy and Steve that
yeah.
week. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
thank you, Amy.
Yes, I'm glad to know all this stuff. So anyway, Steve asks Nikki what she thinks it wants, and she says she thinks it wants to kill her slowly. Not the Sean guy, mm-hmm. but the other things that are in the house. She tells him that she has a friend come over and tuck her into bed at night because she can't, she's too scared. And she gets, she's crying and she's really embarrassed. She's like, this is so embarrassing, yeah. blah, blah, blah. And she, I felt bad for her that she was embarrassed by that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's being tormented in mm-hmm. this house. And mm-hmm. and Steve even says, it's not embarrassing. It's a tragic way to live.
Yeah.
And so she thinks that she's, we haven't really gotten to everything that she's been through, but she gets physically touched and
yeah.
and these, we'll get to there.
Yeah.
So Amy sees these mourners. She says they're angry and they're affecting people physically and making mm-hmm. them scared. The living would feel anger and act out on it.
Really?
The living may see them going back and forth, and they would see this as shadow figures or full body apparition.
Ooh.
And then we go back to Nikki and Steve, and they're in her bedroom, and she's talking about the shadow figures that she sees in her bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
She said they're blacker than black, and you can't see through them.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept saying, do you think it's a shadow of like an animal from outside mm-hmm. or whatever? But like, You can see through shadows,
yeah.
you know, like I'm holding my hand up to the,
yeah.
the wall and you can see a shadow in my hand. You can still see the wall behind
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It's not like you can't see through a shadow.
Yeah.
So these are different.
Yeah.
They can't be like a real shadow.
Steve's just, you know.
He's grasping at straws.
It's okay, Steve.
He's trying to find, he's trying yeah. to debunk, which is
kind of his job in the show.
Yes, that's what you're supposed to do.
You can't just, you know, he's kind of your husband of the show, except exactly. he actually believes.
Exactly. So where am I? Oh, full body apparition. Okay. So then Nikki describes how she thinks it's messing with her mind.
I'll set a task to do and I'll go in circles and do other things before I can make my way back to it.
All
right. It's like I'm scatterbrained.
Okay, but maybe she has ADHD.
I yelled to the TV, girl, welcome to the club. It's called ADHD.
yeah. It's called, I'm going to do the dishes. Oh, wait, this counter is really dirty. I'm going
to
wipe it.
Before I can do the dishes, I have to do that. And before I can do that, I have to do this.
Oh, but
and then
this
before
rag
that.
Is dirty. I need mm-hmm. to do the laundry. So mm-hmm. I've got to go. Oh, but wait, my room is messy. I've got to clean that up first. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Nikki, that's
yep.
it's not a spirit.
If that's paranormal, I have ghosts.
If that's paranormal, pretty much every
most
adult
have, ghosts,
have
yeah.
a ghost
yep.
at some of some form.
Yep. So then she tells Steve that every night she wakes up and there are spirits standing all around her bed.
Is she maybe like a sensitive or a medium? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
I got ahead yep. of myself.
So Steve asks if they say anything, and she says they say help me, or they say I want to go home.
Oh!
And this is when I went, she's a medium. And then Steve, as if on cue, says, "Has anyone ever told you you might be a medium?"
Yeah, the maple. That's really sweet.
It's really sweet, isn't it?
That's really
yeah.
sweet.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I don't like that one as much. That one might be good, like mixed with club soda or something, mm-hmm. you know, just to thin it out.
Or
a
like
little.
Maybe some extra whiskey or whatever they put in it.
That
I don't know.
Whiskey might be really strong.
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we go to Amy, and she's in Nikki's bedroom where she says, I feel as somebody with abilities here. And she describes Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when I noted that Amy's nails, fingernails,
uh-huh.
they are like long, like 2 inches long.
Uh-huh.
They're white, except for the pinkies, like gold. I took some pictures.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. I was just going to say, I need to see this. Because normally she doesn't have the fake nails. Like in my right. episode, they were yellow, but they were her normal.
Yeah.
You know, not that there's anything wrong with those nails, but
here.
It's just not. Holy cannoli. Girlfriend.
I know, right?
You really went for it.
Props to Amy's nail tech.
Yeah, no kidding.
They look pretty amazing.
They look good.
So she hears a dead lady saying, "Why won't you help us?" And it's very aggressive.
Is this Amy hearing that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And she sees the female yelling at them, "Get the fuck away from me."
Mm.
And she thinks the living person is exhausted, being drained, and it's been triggered a real illness.
Okay.
Something bad.
Let me guess. Nikki has cancer or something.
Oh, well, just wait. So
I'm just so ahead of it.
So now we're going to go back to Nikki. She's talking to Steve about being touched all over. And she describes a nightmare.
But I had a nightmare. And in the nightmare, I was sexually assaulted.
Oh, my God. That's not okay. I didn't know that could happen. Well, that just unlocked a new fear. Yeah.
And I woke up the next morning and I had bruises all over my private area. I've never been a victim before, and talking about it, it embarrasses me that something paranormal did this to me and I can't fight back.
And Steve said, "Don't be embarrassed. I'm here and I'm mm-hmm. listening to you mm-hmm. and I'm not here to judge." And good. I'm just in tears watching this.
Steve, this, you're the best.
This episode, I had me crying. It had yeah. me laughing. It was just really, really good. So then Amy describes this group of mourners that are grouping around her. And mm-hmm. she says that when the woman falls asleep, it's really bad. Like she gets nightmares. And that I don't have it right here in my notes. Maybe she said it later. But she says that one of the mourners puts their hands on her chest and pushes down like it's trying to kill her.
I don't like that.
And all, I guess, because she won't move them on because she doesn't
know. But she doesn't know how.
She doesn't know how. Yeah. So then we go talk to Toni, the sister, and she talks about how the ladies are fighting with each other all the time. And she said they all start fighting and then get enraged. It just escalates really quickly. The sisters.
Oh, okay.
Nikki and her sister, Toni.
Okay. And they both live there?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. Yeah.
Sorry if I didn't say
it. That's all right. You probably did and I forgot. Oh,
that's right. Dory. So she has seen, the sister has seen an apparition of Sean, the friend,
in
the hallway. And mm-hmm. she thinks he's here at times, not mm-hmm. necessarily all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She hears knocking on the walls and she like did it for them. Four knocks on the walls in Nikki's bedroom and sometimes in her bedroom and sometimes in the bathroom that's like between the two.
Yep.
So then this is where I'll put a sound clip of Amy. She walks into one of the bedrooms and she says,
"Okay, I can't with that. I just, oh my God."
It sounds so funny. So she says she sees a man bouncing off the walls and the ceiling, and he's fucking pissed, she Uh-oh. Said. She said the living would hear banging and would have their energy drained,
mm-hmm.
which is what we know is happening. Mm-hmm. She doesn't see how anyone can be in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes the living agitated, dizzy, and scrambles your brain so you can't think straight.
Oh, like Nikki.
With her
ADHD / ghosty stuff.
Yeah, paranormal ADHD.
There's another potential title.
Oh,
we got gems today.
I know. So Steve is talking to Sherry, who is Nikki's friend and Sean's fiance.
Mm-hmm.
And she has seen a tall, dark shadow figure. You can't see any of their features, and she doesn't think it's Sean.
Mm-hmm.
She shows Steve a picture of Sean. And Steve asks her if she thinks Sean is here, and she says she hopes not. And I'm thinking, she's like, well, I have a new boyfriend now. I hope he's not here watching me. So she doesn't live there, though.
Yeah.
Now, Amy sees a young guy. She thinks it might be a neighbor. He has brown hair. He's a big guy. And his death was fairly recent.
Mm, so it is Sean.
Well, we thought so, but.
Oh.
She says lots of anxiety. He's yelling because he's having a heart attack. And Sean died of a heart attack.
Yeah.
And he was calling it hell.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
So then we go to Steve. And then I noted that we have a ring shot.
Yep.
15 minutes, 43 seconds in. There's the ring shot. Number one. There's two of them. He's going to meet with a historian named Matt McGrew, who has stories about one of the first owners of Nikki's property, the mm-hmm. Powells, Charles and Ellen Powell. And I'm not going to go into the whole story because it's long.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say this couple had 8 kids and 21 grandchildren. And I'm thinking maybe they should have bought an old decrepit nursing home.
In Wisconsin with 40 rooms.
Yeah.
That would have been good. So 21 plus 8 is 29 plus, I mean, you've got a couple guest rooms there.
Yeah. So one of the kids, one of the 8 kids is Thomas. Mm-hmm. And he lost his baby son, Carl, to whooping cough. So I'm not going to go through all the deaths. And I, I even took them out of my notes because I got so tired of writing down. So-and-so died in 1990.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I'm not going to bother writing everything down. I'm not going to, whatever. So even Steve says, Jesus, that's a lot of kids.
Yeah.
So Thomas is one of them. There were 13 deaths in three generations of this family.
Oh, my God.
So, but when your family's ginormous, I guess there's more.
I mean, the more people, the more deaths. I mean, that's just statistics.
Exactly.
Numbers.
But the and these were mostly heart attacks and strokes.
Really? Oh, it's like the tattoo parlor.
Yeah. So now we go to Amy. She sees three generations of dead males. The middle one, she's calling Thomas. I'm like, how the fuck does she do
that? I know. It's like
it's so amazing.
It's yes.
She's so good. So the oldest there says this is his land, and they are he and the men are always around watching outside. Thomas told her that his family has had to fight off beggars and natives to protect their land. I'm like, you mean the land that you stole from
them? Yeah. Whose land, Thomas?
Whose land again? So Steve is going to meet a news reporter, Leslie Rubin, who tells him all about a huge flood that happened in 1937. It rained for 21 days straight.
Oof, that's a lot of rain.
That's a lot of rain. Sorry, it rained for 20 days straight. And
well,
the
that one
flooded.
Day really makes a difference.
I still want anyone to come at me and be like, it's 20 and not 21. They're right on the Ohio River. She shows him photos of the flooded town and all a bunch of towns along the river all flooded. So some of the pictures she was showing were not of this town, but just to give him an idea. And it was like, I mean, the water was like over the top of the door.
Wow.
So it was deep.
Well, I mean, it rained for 20 days.
Yeah, it was deep. So, okay, the death toll for this flood was 350.
Holy crap.
Yep. Three of them were near the client's property, but I'm not going to go into the details of them because it doesn't come up again.
Yeah.
Amy sees the mourners again, and she said,
but they knew all of each other in life. They lost a lot of people at the same time. Very angry about that. I guess a lot of their friends and family died at the same time because, like, something about the water.
God, she's so good.
You know, and they're really pissed about it.
I would be, too.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Like, the worst way for, like, my biggest fear is drowning.
Yeah.
Biggest fear.
I think fire might be mine.
With the thing with fire, depending on how it goes, though, you might die from smoke inhalation before
that's
the flames.
True. That's true.
So
mostly people do.
I mean, not that that's a good, but it's better than being burned alive.
Yeah.
Woof.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
No, thanks. So Steve is doing his library digging, and he finds out about a one-armed cop who was killed nearby. The worst part is it was his last day on the job.
Oh, you're kidding me.
And I assume when he got up in the morning, he said, I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was during the last 30 minutes of his last day of work.
You've got to be kidding me. Yeah.
So Steve meets with the victim's great grandson, and there's another ring shot. And his name is Jason Meenock. And his great-grandfather, Clarence, was highly respected. He worked for the railroad for 17 years, and he lost part of his arm in an accident from when he worked on the railroad.
Yeah.
He became a night watchman with the police department.
Mm-hmm.
On May 11th, 1950, he received a call about a drunken, disorderly man, and while he was taking the man into jail, the guy got a hold of Clarence's gun and shot three times, one time missing him, one time getting him in the stub of his arm, and once in the head, killing him. And Steve says there's nothing in the world worse for a cop than to get killed with his own gun.
Yeah.
The guy surrendered. He was found guilty of manslaughter.
I feel like that should at the very least be like second degree.
I mean, maybe
that was murder.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe it wasn't premeditated.
No.
But there's.
You shot. It's not like you shot him once and accident. Like you shot three times.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is intention right there.
Right, right. And Steve even said this was not manslaughter.
No.
The guy got 6 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you know.
And then he presumably served his 6-year sentence and was out. And then he went to prison again in 1967 for lascivious acts with a child.
Oh, so he's a pedophile.
Yeah. Mm. So he's a real fucker.
So don't say lascivious acts. Say pedophile.
Yeah.
Don't glorify this guy.
Right. Well, I just use the words that they
I know, did, not you. No, yeah, I'm not saying you. Yeah. I'm saying them.
Yeah.
He's a POS is what he is.
Exactly. He died in prison. And Steve goes, good.
Oh, my God, Steve, we're so connected.
But you know what, though? This happened in 1950, the shooting. That means he lived for 17 years free. Or not 17. Sorry, 11, because he was in prison for 6.
Oh, yeah.
Unless he got out early. I don't know. I looked him up. Okay, so I did a little bit of digging on this for the Patreon extras. And I did find a bunch more stuff on this, but I did not find anything about if he actually served his time or not, or the whole time. But I did find out some other things.
I feel like
we can talk about another time.
Like, if you are a pedophile, instant death sentence.
Yeah.
Instant.
I mean, even prisoners do not take kindly to pedophiles.
Child molesters.
So it's a real good chance you're going to die in there anyway.
That'd be good.
Uh-huh. Like, not after a long time living there either.
Yeah, like, that's true.
Day two.
You know what? As just...
I know.
We're going to definitely have to do a trigger warning in this one.
Yeah. Yeah. So Amy sees the dead guy again, the one who was bouncing off the walls, and she said he didn't want to come back. He doesn't want to be here. And she's trying not to engage with him. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm trying to push him away because he's giving her a headache. And he's not in his complete form.
Okay.
She said he was in his 50s, and he has facial hair, and he's fucking pissed.
I wonder how, though, if he didn't want to come back, how would a spirit come back then?
She said something about he was transitioning, and something happened while that was going on, and he got
trapped,
shoved back.
Yeah.
And I assume that this is the cop, but they never say that it is. But it sounds to me like it is. He was in his 50s, and he's pissed, and, you know. So anyway, so he died, and he sort of started moving on, and then he got pulled back. And he's staying, and he's going batshit. Her words.
Yeah, he's going batshit. Like, maybe they tried to do, like, they tried to do CPR or something, and he was brought back for a minute.
Maybe.
And then he died, you know, and then maybe between that time, I don't know, I'm just throwing things against the wall.
No, I don't know. I don't know how that works. So,
I don't either.
But I know when my dad died, Jackie told me that they had a nurse that would come in and sit with them and, you know, try and kind of help him through because he was dying.
Yeah.
And Jackie called me and said that she said the nurse said that he's beginning transitioning.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never heard that to mean that before.
Yeah, you told me that. Yeah.
And I was like, that's kind of a cool way to describe that.
It's not as jarring as he's dying.
Yeah.
You know?
Because dying sounds like you're done.
Right.
Whereas
transitioning
just means you're going to another.
You're going there.
Another.
Yeah.
Realm or another universe. Or...
Oh, we talk about dimensions in mine.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good, good. Okay.
Yeah. Gets crazy.
So these are the sketches. Now we're at the sketches. She's going to do the crazy guy that bounces off the ceiling. And she says when she's directing the artist, she says he's mostly energy. And then she's going to do the mourners surrounding the woman in the bed. So we're at the reveal. And at the table is Nikki and Tony, the sisters, and then Steve. And then Amy's on the monitor again.
Right.
Amy talks about being in the carport and the man who was having a heart attack, the fairly recently deceased one. And she said the living people could feel his anxiety, fear, and panic when they're out there. Steve brings up Sean, and Nikki explains that they were fighting the day that he died. She said they were arguing and he just, like, dropped.
Oh, my God.
So she didn't mention that before, you know, and she did at the reveal. And I was like, oh, my God, that's even worse.
Even worse.
She blames herself, of course.
Because,
you know, she's a tender flower who's, you know, is embarrassed by the fact that she's having horrible nightmares. Anyway, I feel so bad for her.
Yeah.
I really liked her. So Steve shows Amy a photo of Sean and she says, is this the guy you saw? And she's like, I don't know. The guy I saw had really long hair. Did Sean ever have long hair? And they say no. She's like, well, then I don't think it was him.
Really? But didn't she also say that ghosts can make themselves appear how they want to?
They can.
Appear?
That's true.
I mean,
that's true because there was that one that she said this woman always wanted to have red hair. So she's showing herself to me with red hair.
Yeah.
So
not that I'm telling Amy that she's wrong. Right. I would never do that. No,
God forbid.
No.
So she says that doesn't mean that he's not coming here off and on to assist you. As a guide.
As a guide.
This is where I'm clapping. I'm like, guide! I knew it! So, yeah, I literally clapped and cheered. So,
as you should.
So then Amy talks about how she went into Tony's room, and this is where she sees the man bouncing off the walls and the ceiling. And Tony says she hears that knocking. And mm-hmm. Steve said he, I thought that Steve was going to ask if it was the cop, but he didn't. Either he didn't ask or he asked and it was cut.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a sentence here that says, extremely energy draining in apropos of nothing. So Nikki talks again about how she goes about a task and her mind is wiped clear.
Mm-hmm.
Amy explains that the male is someone who moved on, and while he was transitioning, he got pulled back and is trapped in there, and he's very angry. Mm-hmm. And his anger is consuming Tony, the sister.
Really?
She's absorbing his anger and negativity, and that's part of why they fight.
Mm-hmm.
So then she shows the sketch. It's not a woman in a bed. It's just the bed and then the energy and stuff swirling around.
Oh, my God. But there's like a face in the ceiling.
Yeah, that's part of that's the guy.
Oh.
And that's like, she said he's mostly energy, but I guess they gave him a face just to show. I know.
That's intense.
Yeah, it's cool artwork.
It is, yeah.
So that is that one. And then, okay, so the other dead people, the seven mourners, their family and friends were dying left and right, and it had something to do with water.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish you all could see Steve's face mm-hmm. when she says that, because he's just like, God damn it. You know, like, hit the nail
so
on the head.
Yeah.
I know. He's like, he just gives this look. I can just hear him thinking, damn.
Yeah.
And Amy says they would see shadow figures. And Steve talks about the massive storm and the flood.
Mm-hmm.
And Amy's like, what? Really? She clarifies that they are not the victims of water, but mm-hmm. their friends and family may mm-hmm. have been. Amy then confirms that Nikki is a medium.
Mm-hmm.
I got that you are, in fact, a medium. And they're pissed. I heard something like you telling them to get the f*** out and leave you alone.
I did.
So they're upset about that because they're coming to you for help and you're not helping them.
I knew I was a medium. I wanted to hear you confirm it, that I wasn't crazy, honestly. I've heard them ask for help. Nikki, help me. I don't know how. I don't know how to help them. And I want to. I really do.
But, yeah. So she admits to telling the mourners to fuck off. And Amy says that this could be messing with her energy and could have manifested as a chronic illness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Nikki drops the bomb that she found a knot in her breast last year. And Amy says, yeah, I was worried about that. Like, she knew that was coming.
Yeah.
And she says she's fine now.
Good.
And she just didn't want anyone to know about it because guess what? She's ashamed. She's embarrassed. I'm like, honey, who taught you to be embarrassed or ashamed about normal things that are not in your control?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel so bad for her. Yeah. I just want to give her a hug.
The patriarchy did.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. She also talks about how her friend tucks her in at night and she's crying. And so she's embarrassed of that.
Your friend took you in at night.
Sometimes. It's so bad. It's so embarrassing. I'm 42 years old. This is just nuts. Like, I have my friends come over and they take turns. Turning off my light for me because I can't turn my light switch off and walk to my bed in the dark.
It's mm-hmm. so heartbreaking. Then Amy says, well, I had a sketch done. And she shows it to Nikki. And that is, I'm going to find that one for you. And I'm showing it to Megan right now.
Oh, wow.
And it's the woman, somebody, I mm-hmm. guess you can't really tell if it's a woman, but someone's laying in bed, mm-hmm. and then those mourners are all
okay,
wrapped
around them.
Okay,
but, like, that's the weirdest fucking face.
Really goofy face. I wish y'all could see Megan's face right now.
Yeah.
Mouth open, eyes wide.
Time for that.
It is kind of a cartoony,
it is.
Comical looking
yeah,
face.
But there's, and it's like people with like top hats, like Abraham Lincoln yeah. top hats yeah. around her.
And the flood was in 1937, I think. So mm-hmm. it seems weird that they would be wearing such old timey outfits.
And they all look like they have veils.
Yeah.
Like the women have veils.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and this reminded me, because of that funny face, it reminded me of that video that I sent you that was
yeah.
the parody on the yeah. sketches, and they were yeah. all...
they were all really funny.
It was hilarious. I'll post that in the show notes.
Yeah.
Okay, so when Steve pulls out that sketch, Nikki says, that's what I live with every day. And then this is when Amy talks about how the one mourner is pushing on Nikki's chest. And Nikki says, yeah, I get touched and grabbed all the time. And she said, just a few minutes ago when y'all were talking, somebody grabbed my arm.
Wow.
So Amy says, yeah, that could be them. And then Nikki talks about her rape dream and mm-hmm. the fingerprints. And yeah, Amy's just like, that's them. So the suggestions are to get a male medium that will make contact with the mourners and see what they want mm-hmm. and how they want to be helped and how they can be moved on. Mm-hmm. And then a male witch will come and move the mourners on. And then they'll move on the semi-transitioned man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Tony's going to have to work with a healer mm-hmm. to remove the energy and cut cords between her and the angry male.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says the medium and the witch will work together with Nikki if she wants to help her with her abilities. Yep.
Yep.
So then the update, it doesn't say how long, like, you know, sometimes it says 2 months later or whatever. It didn't say how long. It just said that Nikki and Tony are still searching for a medium and a witch. So the activity continues.
Mm.
And I hope that they have it sorted by now because awful. That's awful.
That's terrible. That's one of the worst I think we've had.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jennifer.
And we are the hosts of Haunted or Hoax, a paranormal investigation podcast where we investigate the legends, not the ghosts.
Our locations range from houses down in Savannah, Georgia, but like how many bodies is too many bodies, you know?
Probably.
Are you putting a number on it?
Farmsteads up in rural New York. He just runs out into the lake and drowns himself, a la Virginia Woolf.
To hotels in West Virginia.
And then the next morning, he told the front desk how noisy the people in 409 were. And the staff said he was the only one on that floor.
But what if he really wasn't? Like, what if they were just messing with him?
Right.
Like, oh, it's Adam. Let's fuck with him a little bit.
Plus, once a month, we get together and go on a ghost tour and bring the legends and history to you.
And having candy thrown off the shelves towards you sounds more like a teenager than a small child.
Yeah, because a small child would just stuff it right into their ghostly cheeks and run away. That's what I would do.
Join us every Tuesday as we discuss the legends, history, and experiences from haunted locations.
Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening. The activity continues. We'll be back after this short break.
We recently tried Wantable, and I love everything about them. They sent me a box full of stuff, and I think I kept 3 of the items and returned the rest. However, I noticed after I had sealed the bag and scheduled the pickup that I had forgotten to return an item and was so worried that I would be charged for it. I reached out to Wantable, and immediately they sent me a different return label to package up the item that I had forgotten to send. Not only is their stuff top tier, high quality, adorably cute garments, but their customer service is top notch. I 100% will continue using them. I've already purchased and received my second box, and I look forward to many boxes from them.
Get $25 off your first order by going to theactivitycontinues.com/wantable. And here's how it works. You pay a $20 styling fee. Whatever you keep, they subtract the styling fee plus another $25. So you basically get $45 off your order. It's a great deal. Free shipping and returns. Wantable edits your style.
Now it's my turn. So this is in Oregon. Oregon? I don't know.
I always used to say Oregon, but I know people that live there say Oregon. almost like Oregon.
Almost like the musical instrument?
Mm-hmm.
It's time for an organ. Okay, so Steve's driving and he meets with Lori. Lori's the one that called them in, and she takes care of elderly people in her home, kind of like an adult foster care system. And so she's really concerned that she's putting patients at risk, and it's also really wreaking havoc on her personal life. She lives there with her boyfriend, Devin, and his daughter, part-time Cameron, and Cameron is 9. And so she said the last 3 years, things have gotten really bad, and she's actually scared to live there. Also, she tells Steve that if Amy and him can't help her, then her relationship is probably going to end. Oh. Like, it's really bad.
No pressure, though.
Amy no pressure. Steve. Yeah, but like my love life and, you know, risk here. So she lives there with her. So it's Lori, Devin, and Cameron, three elderly women who live there. And then a caretaker, Julie, lives there. So 3, 6, 9, 7. Seven, math. Seven people live there.
Math is hard.
It's hard. And one hand is holding the microphone, so I lost 5 fingers right there. It's tough.
You know, take off your shoes.
I know. Well, then I have socks on. So everybody is scared to be there. They're scared to go to bed at night. They hear voices. They see apparitions. Things will move on their own. She said everyone's health is declining. She's actually been diagnosed with fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of mood swings. And she grew up in this house. So she grew up there when she was little, moved away, and then moved back about 7 years ago. And the house was actually moved from its original location. It's still on the same lot.
Oh.
But it was moved to make way for an interstate a few years ago. And they didn't say when it was moved, but it was moved at some point. And so Steve asks if she's done anything, and she said she's saged the house to try to fix the issues. Mm-hmm. So then they move to the living room where the resident and the caregivers live. And so he asked about the room that they're in, like if it was a new addition, and she said, no, it's always been there. And she said when she was growing up, her grandmother would see faces of people looking in through the windows, but just the faces, no bodies. Weird. Fuck no, thank Mm-mm. you.
Headless faces?
No, Mm-mm. thanks. They hear footsteps upstairs when nobody is home, conversations between people when nobody is home, and, you know, around 3 to 4 people. Sounds like banging sounds throughout the house.
And we have banging sounds throughout the house. And it sounds like someone's picking up like encyclopedias and just dropping them. Books just booms. It's really crazy.
I mean, that's got to scare the hell out of you.
Yeah, it does.
So she said, yeah, this is when she says if they can't figure this out, she thinks they're splitting up. They're fighting constantly. Mm. And she said they feel better when they're not home.
Oh.
Huh. She said they don't fight or argue, and she feels better when she leaves. Her fibromyalgia feels better.
Hmm.
So then we go to Steve and Devin. And so they're in the living room, and Devin says there'll be mood swings just all of a sudden. They're just super angry with each other. And Steve is like, well, couples fight, like, you know how he is. And mm-hmm. Devin is like, no, it's paranormal due to the feelings he has. He said they just get really strong. Devin is kind of... He's definitely has a very negative view of the entity. He thinks it's very negative, and he said it, he thinks it gets enjoyment from wrecking relationships. Oh. And he says that a few times throughout the episode. Hmm. And then so Steve asks if he's had any experiences, and he said, yep, cupboards will open in the kitchen, you know, after I've just closed them. And Steve is like, well, like, do they latch? Is there any reason they could open on their own? And he said, no, they definitely catch. There's no way that they could open. And Devin said, you know, I'll close them and then I'll walk out of the room and I'll come back in and they'll all be open. Fuck no.
That is so creepy.
When I lived in the Middle East, my cat did that. I think I've mentioned this story because I'm Dory and I don't remember. But
I don't remember anything about your cat doing something.
So I had a lot of activity in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of very terrifying dreams. Lots and lots and lots of activity in the Middle East.
It's an older world than ours.
Mm-hmm. And so I woke up one morning and I came out and every single cupboard was open. Every single cupboard was open and the drawers were open.
Jeez.
I was scared shitless. Yeah. Then I found out my cat was doing it because I watched him open all the cupboards.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, you motherfucker. His name was Elliot. I called him Elliot Samuel because he was a dick. But I loved him so much. So, yep, he said cupboards were open. And then he says his daughter Cameron got pushed. She was outside and she ran and screaming, daddy, daddy, something pushed me. And so she's really scared, which no shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're 9 years old. No.
Yeah.
No. He also said he's seen an apparition of a lady. She's got old 18th century clothes on, and they talked about how it had puffed sleeves, which makes me think of Anne of Green Gables because she wanted the puffed sleeves. And then he guesses she's around 30s or 40s. Steve goes, you been drinking when you saw this? You drinking?
You boozing?
You boozing? Devin was like, no. So Devin also thinks that the spirits in the house are trying to get to the other side, and this is like a go-through. Remember that.
Mm.
So then we go to Julie, and remember, this is the caretaker that lives there. And so she said she's worked with them for 2 years and lived there over 8 months. And so Steve's like, well, what have you had? And she said, I actually had a human bite mark on my arm. Mm. She said she woke up with it, and she said it was red, and it was a human bite mark.
Oh, my God.
No, thank you. And Steve was like, well, you know, can you just move out? And she said, no. She takes care of the people there, and she thinks of them as a family, which... When you spend that much time with somebody, you think of them as family.
Well, and especially a lot of times these older people don't have families of their own, at least not that visit them very frequently.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
So Steve asked if there was any place on the property that she doesn't like to go. And she said she doesn't like to go into the wooded area. And there's a big, like, woods around surrounding the house. It's on a pretty big plot of land. It's not like yours where there's lots of neighbors. It's not like that. So she saw two times, she said she saw a light flicker in the woods, and it was very clear it was a light. And there was, you know, it's in the woods, it's pitch black. And then you see a light, and she doesn't have a reason for it. She said it was like somebody stood out there and lit a light, or you know, something like that. And she said the next morning, the first time it happened, she even went out there and was looking around to see if maybe it was like a cigarette butt, or, you know, she could find a flashlight, and she said nothing. So then we go to a local historian and author, and there was an issue with my Discovery and my Hulu, and so none of the words showed up. So I don't know last names of these people. I just know Diane. She was a local historian and author. And so we go into the history. So Rufus Beeman was the first owner of the property. And so it was in like the 1850s. So he got 320 acres of land. And Steve was like, well, that's a big plot. And she was like, that was pretty standard at that time. And if you were married, you got twice that, 640 acres. So he was single. So he participated in what was called the Rogue River Indian Wars. Their words, not mine. So the settlers, and here's, why do they call it settlers and not settlers?
I think it's just a dialect thing.
Because even Steve called them settlers. So I don't know. They call them settlers. And so the settlers wanted the land, and the Native Americans were being shoved off the land. Contain your shock and surprise. I know. So then we had this Battle of Hungry Hill. It took place October 31st in 1855. A group of Native Americans went into the hills to hide from these people. One of the Native Americans situated himself as a sniper and basically was shooting the settlers as they came up the hill. This was the only battle that the Native Americans won. The settlers lost 39 men. The Native Americans only had 15 or 16 casualties, which is still 16 people, you know, whose lives were lost. Beeman was actually able to return home after the battle. He sold the property, and then he moved to Washington in 1861. In April of 1856, the Native Americans were rounded up and sent to reservations, and they never were able to come back to the land. And then recently, within the last few years, archaeologists have found the original battle site and have been digging up and finding different artifacts.
Wow.
So then we have a crime that took place. I think it wasn't on the property, but the body was dumped on the property inadvertently. Okay. So we go to the sheriff, and I apologize, I couldn't get his name because the words didn't show up, but it's the local sheriff. And it was so funny because he did like a PowerPoint, like a slideshow.
Oh, really?
And so you show him like a montage of him pulling the screen and then a close up of the light switch. And I'm like, okay, people. So the murderer was Richard Brumfield, and he was an influential dentist who moved to the area in 1909. He murdered William Russell. We just dive right into this.
Yeah.
So basically, the reason behind it is Richard Brumfield was looking for someone to kill and use the body to fake his death. He wanted to start a new life with his mistress in Canada.
Oh.
I don't know why he couldn't have just left her, like if he was married, left his wife, just leave. Why do we need to kill people?
I don't know.
So the way that he killed him was he gave him strychnine while he was drinking, which didn't kill him. So then he ended up shooting him twice.
Oh, jeez.
Kind of starting to be a little bit Rasputin-ish, but we didn't.
Well, it's kind of like the my last week one where they shot the guy in the head and he didn't die. And then they bludgeoned him and he didn't die. And so then they stabbed him and then they strangled him or whatever.
Yeah, that was rough. Whew. So he placed William Russell's body in Brumfield's vehicle, took off Brumfield's ring, put it on William's hand. And then he also removed the victim's teeth.
Oh, God.
Here's where we get cray-cray. So he then placed dynamite in the victim's mouth,
what?
Exploded it, and decapitated him.
Jesus Christ.
His head's gone.
And he was already dead.
He was already dead, yeah.
Okay, but still.
Still, that's a little bit. And then...
Was he trying to, like, hide his identity?
Yeah, he was trying to pass this person off as himself.
Right, okay.
So that would make sense.
He was faking his death.
Okay. You know, but... Either remove his teeth... Why did you have to remove his teeth and... I suppose... Because you don't want, when his head explodes, teeth to fly everywhere.
Did he keep the teeth and put them somewhere?
I don't know. That's morbid. Probably.
That's really weird.
Gross. So then, on top of that, he doused the car with gasoline, lit it on fire, and pushed it off the road.
Oh my God.
And that's how it ended up on Lori's property. All of this. And during the autopsy, they found a document on the victim that named him William Russell. He did all of this.
Nothing. Didn't even go through his fucking pocket.
If you're blowing up his head, take 5 minutes and search through his pockets.
Jeez, what an idiot.
Yeah.
Criminals are so dumb.
Fucking Richard.
Not all of them, but a lot of them are pretty dumb.
So the officers then, they started to search for Richard. I'm not sure how they made the connection. Oh, with the ring. Duh, I just fucking... This is why I'm not a cop. Like, I don't know how... I mean, he's got his ring, but we don't know that it's him. So then the officers started to search for him. They put a whole bunch of wanted posters for him in the upper northwest part of the United States. He actually was identified by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. They were the ones that found him in Canada.
Oh.
Went to trial, was convicted of murder, and was sentenced to death by hanging. However... He hung himself before his execution could be carried out.
Oh, he just wanted to do it himself.
Yeah, that's whatever. As long as he's dead. So here we go with Amy. She steps out of the vehicle. And all of this takes place outside. She hasn't even gone in the house yet.
Oh, boy. That's not good. You know, there's a doorway there.
Like a portal doorway?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
So she said, additionally, there's some kind of path which is separate from the doorway. She said there's dead people on the path that are walking, you know.
Through the doorway?
She didn't say, just on the path.
Okay.
And she said she's concerned about the living people wandering up in there and disappearing into other dimensions.
Oh, my goodness.
Hard pass. I don't want to go into any other dimensions. Not even a big fan of this one sometimes.
Well, maybe another one would be better.
That's true. So she did say that someone has put up protections around the property, but things are still getting in.
Mm.
She said the doorway in the woods, the activity there is out of control. Things are constantly coming through, and she talks about them a little bit later. The living would hear scratches on the walls, and they would definitely see some weird thing. So she sees a creature thing outside the house. She says it's big and dark. Looks like an animal scratching at the walls outside.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she has a sketch done. But she said it's not intelligent. It kind of is like a moth, and it's coming from the hallway or the doorway. A lot of different entities are coming from that hallway, and she said some of them are really dangerous.
Ew.
So now we're in the house. So she sees a living woman in the house. She's a sensitive. And she said she didn't pick a good house to live in. No, she didn't.
She knows that now.
Yep. She said there's random people, dead people that run through the house. And the sensitive would pick up on that. And she would also pick up on the feelings from the dead. And she said being a sensitive in an area like this consistently can make her sick.
Mm.
All the way from flu-like symptoms, you know, to cancer. And then she said...
There's someone with long brown hair. I think it's a girl. Something's happening to her. Something's like attacking her. Her arms, she can't lift them because they are being held down.
So then Amy jumps and she's like startled.
Mm.
I don't know what that was. That was weird. There was this weird person that ran out of here and then jumped out at me, growled and was like trying to bite my chest and my throat. They just ran away, and it was like out of nowhere. It definitely creeped me out though.
Jesus.
Yeah. So she said that really creeped me out.
Oh,
and
my,
I'm like,
God.
Yeah, Amy, that would creep anybody out.
God.
So Amy thinks most of the activity is coming outside. It's a lot of traffic, a lot of dead traffic coming through, you know, the pathway and the portal and everything. The house isn't a good place. So she spends a lot of time in the woods, which makes sense because there's that doorway, there's a hallway, there's a lot of stuff there. So first hallway's there in the woods. She said this is where she sees more creature-like things coming out of the hallway, not necessarily ghosts or dead people, but creatures. She doesn't know what they are. And she said next to the hallway is a path that the dead people are on. And she said consciously dead people will wander off the path and then can go into the house and kind of explore. And the path goes pretty far. And she thinks over the years, some living people have gone into this path and disappeared.
Ooh.
And then Matt says, so someone could just walk into this hallway and disappear? And she said, yeah, they would go into another dimension. And she says, I don't know where, and I don't want to know where.
Oh, God.
Same.
What would that look like, though? Like, if you're standing there and somebody that you're standing with walks and then all of a sudden they disappear?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would wonder, you'd almost have to think, like, you'd have to be walking and turn your back. You know, like you bend down to look at a leaf or something and then they would leave. If you saw them disappear, that would fuck you up.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
No.
Going into town and Jimmy Joe just disappeared right in front of my eyes.
We're standing there talking. And
then he just moved to the left and poof. They'd be like, you're a witch.
Bizarre.
And then she'd be like, I don't have the X on my hand. She hadn't seen the TikTok yet. All right. So then we go back inside and she sees someone on the floor. And she said something paranormal happened to this person and he fell down because of it. And she said he wants to show Amy different things that happened to him here. When he was alive, he was haunted. And so he's trying to show her everything that happened to him. She said she saw him in a chair and she saw him freaking out because he was being haunted. She doesn't know if he built the land or if he just bought it, but she does feel like he was the original owner.
Okay.
And she said that he thinks it's cursed because of Native Americans. He said there's a Native American curse on it. And then she said up the hill, someone did something bad to the Native Americans. And then she starts talking about like excavating. Some people are excavating the site.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. God, she's so good.
I know.
So then we go into a bedroom. It's not the main room that we walked in with Lori and Steve. It's just a separate bedroom. So they didn't say which one it was. So I'm wondering if maybe it's either one of the patients lives in.
Oh, sure.
Or Julie. But she said the person, I think it's Julie, because she said she got really sick in there. She didn't like to be in it at all. She's like, this is really bad, really, really bad. And she thinks some of the physical ailments would be due to some of the activity in that room. So we're back outside and she keeps hearing the word predator, predator, predator. She said she feels like something was bearing down on her, feeling like something really large was behind her, kind of running after her. And then she heard the word predator. So
yikes.
Then we, yeah, not great. So then we go to the sketch and, you know, she's all like, do this and it's this, ma, 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 ma. So then we get to the reveal and it's Lori and Devin. And so Steve gives the backstory, you know, this is both a home and a business. And she says downstairs, there's three elderly women as patients and a caretaker, Julie. And so that's when he's like, so, you know, let's talk about your walk. And so she said, when she came in the house, she saw a male lying on the floor. He was tormented by something. She said he thinks that he either built the place or was the first owner. And he's convinced that all of these problems are here because there's a Native American curse. And he talked about how something bad happened to the Native Americans. And then he was going on and on about archaeologists digging up stuff. And that's kind of what started the problem. And so that's when Steve started talking about the battle and the Native Americans and how they won that battle. But then they lost eventually because they got shoved off their land. Mm-hmm. And that comes up later, too.
And now people are digging.
Yeah, this was really recent. Mm-hmm. Like, I think in the episode, they said within the last couple of years, the archaeologists have done this.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, Lori said it got really bad within the last 3 years.
Yep.
So,
yep. Don't be fucking with their shit.
Don't be fucking with their shit. That should go on a pillow.
Cross stitch.
Mm-hmm. With little lace. Very, you know, grandma's. So then she went into the master bedroom and she told Lori that she has abilities and that these abilities run in her family. And the dead wander in to see Lori because they're curious about her. They can sense that she has the abilities. Mm-hmm. She's not a medium, though. She's a psychic.
Okay.
And Steve is like, did you know about this? And Lori said, well, she knows. She said she doesn't want to talk about it. She doesn't want it. She shuts it down. And Amy asked if this was in, if it was in her family. And she said, yeah, her mom, her aunts, and her great aunts were all psychics.
Wow.
Yeah. So definitely family, which that would be tough, I think, to be a psychic. Mm-hmm. Because if you saw something happen, how would you warn somebody without sounding like you're batshit?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That would be a burden. Yeah. That'd be tough.
It would.
So then Amy says that most of the activity is coming from two places outside. She said the first place is the hallway. She saw odd mutant animals coming out of it. One in particular jumps at the house, bangs on it, scratches, growls, and it's doing this for a long time, trying to get in. And then Devin and Lori look at each other, and Steve's like, hey, what are you looking at each other for?
What's that?
What's going on? Share with the group. Yeah. Let's not be selfish. So they hear scratching all the time, and then Amy did a sketch, and Steve goes, oh, I got to see this. And then he pulls out the sketch.
Which one's that?
The wolf-looking one.
Okay. Yep.
It looks like it's got a wolf head with really long arms.
Almost like spidery.
Yes,
long.
But they end in like two two claws.
Like a sloth.
Like a sloth, yes.
Yeah.
So it's really, and it's big. Like, it's really big. It comes up to the window.
Yeah. It looks like it almost, like when its arm that's raised above its head.
Is almost
to the roof. Yeah.
Yep. So Lori asks what it wants. And Amy said it wants to get in. And Lori said, well, what would happen if it got in? And Amy goes, it would cause problems. I mean, it's a fucking wolf. It's not like going to come in and be like, let's have a tea party. No, if the tea's your blood. I'm just kidding. That got dark. So the second place that she's concerned is the path. And then she said any illnesses that you might feel or have would come from the dead. Nausea, flu-like symptoms, headaches. And she said it would be harder on Lori because she's sensitive. So she's more prone to these feelings. She said the dead zap your energy. And Devin chimes in and he's like, I feel exhausted. And he's holding his head. And Steve goes, you look like you got a headache now. He's like, yeah, I just feel like everything's drained. And she said, Amy felt like the living would have mood swings. And she also said some of the dead can make physical contact. And so she also said she saw a female being held down. Her arms are held down. Then she talked about the straggler jumping out at her and like trying to grab, you know, bite her throat and her neck.
Oh, yeah.
And then she also, Lori and Devin talk about how Julie got scratched and she got bit. And so it's definitely attacking people. And then she also talks about the in-between place. And she said the living people can disappear into a parallel dimension. And some of the things coming from the hallway are coming from different dimensions.
That is so crazy.
I know. And then
it's so hard for me to wrap my head around.
I know.
I love the idea. I love to think about it. But it really creeped me to think that it could actually be.
Like there's there could be another Amy. There could be infinite Amy and Megans out there.
Yep.
It makes my brain hurt.
Yeah, it does.
It's not just the rebel coffee. And then Devin is like, we need to take a break, which I don't blame him. Like this dimensions?
Yeah.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So then we get to what to do. Amy said this home never should have been built. This area never should have been developed. There's a lot of supernatural going on, mm-hmm. and people long ago knew, respected it, and they stayed away from it. And then she said, and the white men came in, and mm-hmm. they ignored it. She said, it's not safe for anybody.
Wow.
But of course, they've sunk everything into it, which, like, I get it, but it's not like buying a car. Like, mm-hmm. you can't just sell your car in a day.
Yeah.
Like, this is a house.
Yeah. And so, you have to have somewhere to go.
Yes. And you have to have money to do it, you know?
And what town is this? What part of the world is this?
Roseburg, Oregon.
Okay.
Rosenberg,
that's right.
Oregon.
Oregon.
And so Lori's like, well, I don't know if I can move. Mm-hmm. And so Steve is like, well, what can they do? And so she said, if you stay, you have to sage twice a day, every day.
Oh, my God.
You also need to get a shaman from the tribe that was displaced.
Wow. That's going to be hard to do.
I think shaman are mostly men, are they? Or can they be female?
I don't know.
I honestly don't know. I'm not trying to say that they're only men. This shaman will need to create a protective barrier around the house. So you'll be safe inside the house.
But you can't do much about outside. But you can't go outside.
Yeah. As soon as you go outside, you will be susceptible to everything that's out there, which is things from other dimensions. Right. Like, holy shit.
Jesus Christ.
So they're like, what do you think you're going to do? And Lori said she has to try to get a hold of this, of a shaman.
Mm-hmm.
She said, we can't move.
At least try.
Yeah. And she said she saged the house. And Amy actually said that was a really smart thing to do.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Which I thought Amy was going to be like, you're fucking dumb.
Yeah. But, I mean, usually it's, she has, you know, she tries very nicely to say, you done fucked up.
Yeah.
But
this time it was refreshing for her to be like, that was smart.
Yeah.
So good. I don't know what's happened because, like I said, my screen fucked up. And I think you tried too.
Yep, I tried too.
And I even tried to play it on my phone and I couldn't see the words.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's the episode itself or.
I tried it on Discovery, mm-hmm. where you said you had the problem.
Yeah.
I tried it. Same thing happened. It went to the next episode. I went on Hulu and that episode's not even on Hulu.
Oh.
They only have through episode 8.
Mm-hmm. So. I don't know. I would assume.
So we don't know. We don't have an update.
I would assume the activity would continue, though.
Yeah, unless they found a shaman.
That's a lot of. I mean, they'd have to research what the tribe was, and then they'd have to find the tribe, and
then find somebody willing to go over there and do that,
and you know, assume this person isn't extremely bitter. Which who could blame them?
Right.
I mean, and then you know, this house needs to be torn down. Is essentially what Amy was saying.
Yeah. Wow.
And the Native Americans knew and they respected it.
Yes.
And we were just like, fuck you, you're savages because we know better.
Yep.
No, we didn't know better. Mm-hmm. They understood and understand now.
That's something that I really think is interesting about the Native American culture is their attachment to the earth and all of that.
They're so in tune to it.
Yeah. When I was little, I remember talking to my mom about religion. I don't want to say little. I was maybe 12 or 13 or something.
She was 4.
And I was saying that if I could make up my own religion, it would be more about like the earth and the, you know, all this
and
kind of stuff.
And that's why I'm surprised you're not more of a Wiccan.
Yeah, I know. I am too, actually.
I would,
Because my mom said, that sounds like you're Native American.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, really? I didn't even know that existed. I mean, I knew Native Americans existed. Yeah. I didn't know what their culture and their spirituality was.
For sure.
But that's definitely what I resonate with more. Yeah, I did have a period of time where I was very interested in Wiccan and 90s. Pagan stuff.
Yep.
And I hung out at that Present Moment shop all the time. And then my cousin, who I was close with in college, we were roommates, she's a pagan.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, you know, this all makes a lot more sense to me than any other religion I've ever been around. So, yeah. Interesting. And
Christianity stole a lot from the pagans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Christmas.
Yeah. Everything came from those early religions and solstice and, you know, and all that. Yeah. Yep.
That was a good episode.
Yeah.
Lots of, I mean, dimensions. Holy shit.
All right. Well, we got to get going to the bird. So,
yeah.
But I just want to say thank you to everybody for joining us today. And please hit us up with ideas for other episodes you want to hear.
Or your own experiences. To share those.
Yes.
We talk about ourselves all the time.
Yeah.
We love to talk about you guys.
We want to tell your stories too.
Even though we both have enough.
But. Yeah.
Do, 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 do.
Thank you.
The Activity Continues podcast is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media, and is a part of the independent Collected Sounds podcast network.
Nailed it.
This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with The Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with The Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.